More uranium mining, more Australian involvement in the global nuclear fuel cycle, and the potential for taking back spent Australian nuclear fuel. The Labor Party plans to look at its nuclear policy at the ALP National Conference in Melbourne in July. All these options are on the table. The Labor government in South Australia is already considering its nuclear options. It's got a royal commission underway, set up earlier this year. And the rethink here in Australia comes as national nuclear societies meet in France over coming days to sign a Nuclear for Climate declaration. Our environment editor, Greg Borschmann, has more.
3 months ago, the Labor government in South Australia set up a royal commission to consider its nuclear options. On both sides of politics, many key figures thought that the state inquiry should have been a federal royal commission. Even so, it's likely to set the template for nuclear policy in Australia over the short to medium term.
The Australian Labor Party certainly is not looking to nuclear power. But I do think that we need to have an open mind on the Royal Commission and on the future possibilities that can come from nuclear technologies.
That's Gary Gray, Labor's Shadow Minister for Resources. Labor's 2011 policy platform expressly forbids, quote, the establishment of nuclear power plants and all other stages of the nuclear fuel cycle in Australia, unquote. But Gary Gray has helped draft a revised nuclear platform to be released next week. Domestic nuclear power is off the agenda, but just about everything else is in.
I think this is a good Royal Commission, and I am hopeful that the inquiry will produce decisions and a direction that's beneficial for nuclear industries.
So when you imagine an expanded role in the global nuclear fuel cycle for Australia, what does that mean? Because presumably that doesn't mean a nuclear power plant in everyone's backyard.
No, I don't think it means nuclear power in Australia at all. But that doesn't mean that we can't participate in a beneficial way in the nuclear cycle, either through the production of more uranium or through moving higher through the value chain to produce fuel materials or to receive materials that have been generated from Australian uranium. I think it's also possible for us to look carefully and seriously at the role that nuclear technologies play in medicine and that they play in diagnostic sciences and in manufacturing.
Over coming days, national nuclear societies from around the world are meeting in France. They'll sign a Nuclear for Climate declaration. The so-called Nice Declaration seeks to have UN climate protocols recognise nuclear as a low-carbon option. This potentially opens up UN clean energy funding mechanisms for the nuclear power industry.
The renewable sector is vastly more subsidised, principally within Europe, than the nuclear sector. The nuclear sector is taxed to the hilt and they do not enjoy the benefits of clean energy development mechanisms that wind and solar do.
Rob Parker is president of the Australian Nuclear Association. He'll sign the Nice Declaration on Australia's behalf.
We've got to get actually nuclear on the level playing field, because if one looks at the stark example of Germany and France, we're producing electricity with 70 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour. Go across the border to Germany and you're generating electricity there with 680, or roughly 10 times the amount of carbon dioxide. Now, the Germans have invested and they've got forward obligations approaching $1.2 trillion for the subsidies they have poured into a system which is not being shown to reduce emissions either quickly enough or effectively enough.
And they've abandoned nuclear.
And they're in the process of abandoning nuclear.
The Nice Declaration will commit the nuclear industry to the objective of limiting global warming to a maximum of 2 degrees by 2050. That's the goal that nations are aiming to sign up for at the UN climate talks in Paris later this year. It's meant to represent a safe level of warming. But Rob Parker is not so sure.
2 degrees is not necessarily a safe limit. We've already seen where we've got 0.8 of a degree rising in Australia, what we're getting in extreme fires. So 2 degrees is not a desirable limit, but it is a pragmatic situation because you get an agreement in place and then you can work on it.
So what does this all mean for Australia then? Because like climate change, nuclear policy is vexed, and you'd hardly call it bipartisan. If the Labor Party changed its mind on Australia's role in the nuclear fuel cycle, for example, would that change the political dynamic? Would nuclear suddenly be back on the political agenda in Australia?
If we look at the problem with the agenda in Australia, it's a bit like two bald men fighting over a comb. It's a shocker. We are fighting currently, we're seeing the Liberal and Labor Party fighting over a renewable energy target. And we are not seeing major industrialised nations getting major reductions in greenhouse gas emissions with renewable energy targets. It's not getting across the line. What we've got to do in Australia is we've got to reinstall a price on carbon. We've got to get this going all around the globe. And we've got to be able to displace fossil fuels with smart new technologies that can address the really big things. Renewable energy is only looking at the small picture. We've got to get into agriculture emissions, we've got to get into industrial emissions, and we've got to revolutionise our transport sectors. We've got too small a focus.
So you're saying one of those smart new technologies is in fact the old technology of nuclear?
Well, it's old only insofar as it has not yet had enough development to find its real potential and its true promise.
Rob Parker says nuclear is at a disadvantage from cheap and polluting fossil fuels. Labor's Gary Gray agrees, saying that the economic opportunities from expanding our nuclear options can't be ignored.
The possibilities that the nuclear sector can play in Australia's economy or in any modern economy are now vastly different to that we foresaw in the 1950s, before I was born.
So, quite apart from the political or the PR problem that nuclear has in Australia, how much is there an inbuilt economic problem, or a distortion even, that fossil fuels are still ubiquitous and cheap, almost too cheap, and without a price on carbon pollution, they're still going to undercut both nuclear and renewables?
I think that is true, and I do think that we need to think carefully about how we find a way to price carbon. But you know, in a global context, the reality is that there is no solution for global baseload power generation that doesn't see a big role for nuclear power.
And that's from the Labor Shadow Minister for Resources, Gary Gray, which is significant, ending that report from our environment editor, Greg Borschmann.